edition of this Episcopal Herald podcast. The Episcopal Herald is an online magazine that imagines, articulates, and analyzes the future Episcopal Church. My name is Christine Falstick, and I'm the rector of Epiphany Church in Houston, Texas. And I'm here with a couple folks today to talk about the recent presentation of presiding bishop nominees. So why don't you all introduce yourselves?
I'm Jimmy Evett. I'm the rector of Holy Comforter Episcopal Church in Spring, Texas, which is just outside of Houston.
I'm Dorota Pruski. I'm the associate priest of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Eileen O'Brien. I'm the curate at Christ Church Cathedral in Houston.
Awesome. Well, thanks you all for being here today. I think we should start by noting that the presentation of these nominees took place over several hours this afternoon. And during that time, certain people were noting how many times Jesus was mentioned by various candidates. So, Jimmy,
Bishop Michael Curry, a very energetic preacher, which we'll get to, very much in love with Jesus and saying Jesus. So, I'm gonna let you bet about an over under on how many times he mentioned our Lord's name at 20. So, did he go over or under?
So put your guess in, think about it in your head. Do you think he said 20, no, do you think he said Jesus more or less than 20 times during that session? So while we're on the subject of Bishop Michael Curry, what did we think of his presentation? The candidates answered a number of questions and had an opportunity to both show a video and to give introductory and closing remarks. So we heard a lot from them, but what do we think of Michael Curry's overall presentation?
Well, let me reach into the rainbow of questions here. So the first one is, what was exciting about Michael Curry? Michael Curry was pretty exciting all around. We would say maybe one of the things that was really exciting was the very thing that we're betting on here, the way that he talks about Jesus in ways that are really compelling, that do not beat around the bush about who is at the center of our church. And he lays that out in a really compelling and inviting way, particularly in a day and age when I think many mainline Protestants are nervous about saying Jesus or feel apologetic about talking about their faith as Christians. And so to have the idea of having a leader among us who is unapologetic about faith in Jesus Christ is really amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we took that over under lightly, but also very seriously. And I think that is the very exciting thing, is that he's very much in love with our Lord and really is out there about it unapologetically.
And I think also, you know, as we go into the neighborhoods, as we try to travel lightly, we need someone who can motivate us to do that. And I felt, I don't know, I felt ready to go, you know, ready to get out there.
It's like, just tell me what to do.
I had a little something in my eye at one point.
Yeah,
A little bit of goosebumps.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of goosebumps. Yeah, you know, and then that would lead me to the one thing that I would say maybe is a concern about Bishop Curry, which is simply whether or not his reputation as an amazing preacher in some way allows us to dismiss the conviction that lies under that call for all of us. You know, he addressed some of that head on when he said, you know, people have asked me if a good orator can also be a good administrator. And I think, you know, he made the case for why that is true, and I hope that it is. But my fear is that, you know, in his leadership, we would find someone who we would say, oh, that was a really beautiful thing you said. I want a copy of that, you know, and just sort of leave it there as right. Like nice words that we're hearing that are inspiring and comforting. And then we, you know, that's who he is to us, is just a nice preacher. And yeah. we don't actually go down the road.
We would be hearers of the word and not doers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bishop Michael Curry was one of four nominees who were presented today. Another one was named Dabney Smith.
Right.
Southwest Florida. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So he spoke. He definitely came across, and I think he would probably say this, as the most traditional of the four in terms of his views on human sexuality. But his real emphasis in his theme, and he said this a number of times, I should have taken the over-under on how many times he said together or togetherness, because that was his refrain. It really did seem to me that he has the heart of a pastor, which I find exciting in a sense, that the Episcopal Church, as we know, has been very broken and wounded over the past decade or so. And so him coming in and just talking about togetherness was exciting to me.
And I really thought he was the only one who mentioned the particular role the presiding bishop has in being a pastor to other bishops. And obviously he knew that from his own experience with the death of his wife a few years ago. But I thought it was interesting that none of the others really mentioned or held that up, which is certainly part of the work of the presiding bishop.
Sure. So, and while being traditional, he's also inclusive, and he was very out there about. I guess what concerns me in all of that is he didn't actually name the process of reconciliation that I feel the Episcopal Church needs to go through. He talked about togetherness in the sort of abstract, flowery way, but never actually said, we need to do the hard work of saying that there are people in our church that want same-sex marriage and there are people in our church who don't. What does that look like? And, you know, I know he would say that looks like togetherness, because that's what he said, but what does that actually mean?
You want him to flesh it out a little more.
Exactly, yeah.
So, the third candidate we're going to talk about is Tom Bridenthal from Southern Ohio. Any thoughts on his responses to the various questions?
I just thought his responses to all the questions were very strong, very well thought out. And just, he just seemed like the consummate teacher and pastor to me, right? A very Episcopal personality in that way. I really liked how he talked about the good word. What's the good word? The good word being that we're in relationship together. We may not always agree, we may not always have the same thoughts on things, but that we're in relationship. And I felt like that he would be someone who would lead us into processes of reconciliation that are so very much needed as we look over our recent history as a church and as a communion as well. One thing that sort of came up to me as a concern, and I think I saw this as I watched, everyone tweeting and everything. I think that one of the things he brought up was on the question, what are you willing to leave behind? He really brought up those things that we all value and that we sort of hold very tightly onto. Good music, fancy liturgy, the prayer book that we know and love, or the prayer book as we know it, right? As he knows it. And I think that was a little jarring to people, and I wish that he had talked through that more. It was helpful to me as he went on when he said that, sometimes in being willing to let go of these things, or in being willing to hold them loosely, we receive them back. And so that helped me understand what he was talking about there. But I think many people found that jarring.
Yeah, I heard the first half of what he'd be willing to let go of, and I was so shocked. I don't think I heard the second half about how we're going to receive them back again. So it definitely threw me. But I'm glad you listened all the way through. So, I said there were four nominees. The fourth nominee is Ian Douglas from Connecticut. You know, what I was so impressed by with him is, as you look at his resume and his history, he's done such great work within the Anglican Communion. And when he talked about that, Of course, it was funny he got the question about the Anglican Communion, given that that's right in his wheelhouse. But the last thing he said was that the Anglican Communion is the most robust it's ever been. And I thought, what? You know, what is he selling me? But the more I thought about it, and certainly I've talked to other people about it as well, I think if you think about the way in which we are being honest today, honest about where relationships are strained or broken, honest about our differences, even honest about what it really means to be in communion, the fact that those conversations are happening and are in the open and are not just papered over or covered up, I think that is definitely perhaps true. So he won me over in the end.
The other thing that's interesting about that is that I wonder what he would say about that on a more local level. You know, everyone sort of danced around the idea of the Pew Research Center study and that we have fewer people going to church, you know, and maybe it's just that even on a more local level, just like with the Anglican Communion, we're being more honest about what works for us in church and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. So his,
yeah.
I wonder what he would say about that in the same regard.
One area where I had a few more questions for him that I would have liked to have heard more, I think was about structure. Now, to be fair, none of the candidates were really going to commit significantly to one particular idea about structure because it would be foolish for them to do so. They're going to, whoever gets elected is going to have to live into the decisions made about structure at this general convention. And so it's hard to say how that's going to play out. But in some ways, I really appreciated that he said, let's try some things. Let's do some things differently. I love that way better than someone saying, well, let's maintain the status quo, you know, at all costs. But I was really hoping for more of a total vision for reimagining the church. So, I don't know, that was a question. I would love to hear more from him about his thoughts about structure. So we've covered the four nominees. As I said, it was a wonderful time to sit for several hours and listen.
Well, but we should say it is interesting that this is the first time anything like this has happened before.
Right.
And it really did seem to me that we're trying to get buy-in from the House of Deputies because it's really the House of Bishops that makes this election, and then the House of Deputies only confirms or doesn't confirm that election.
Yeah. So this was the first season of the Episcopal presiding bishop dating game? No, not dating game.
But it would be interesting to see if the next time that we elect a president for the House of Deputies, if we do a similar kind of engagement.
Of both houses.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a really good question. I hadn't thought about that.
What other things did you all not hear today?
And we could run down any sort of number of issues that just weren't addressed, the sort of big hot-button issues of the day. We didn't hear a lot about race, poverty.
You know, one thing that I was listening for, because I always listen for it, because this is part of my work, is I didn't hear anything about Latino ministries and how our presiding bishop candidates would try to communicate on behalf of and also to the Spanish-speaking community. And that's something I really care deeply about and think, you know, given that that's where the growth in our Episcopal Church is, largely, I really think that that's crucial. And I just didn't hear anything about it, and that worries me.
And, you know, it's funny that we say, God, that was so long, that was 3 hours. But honestly, each one of them could have probably talked for 3 hours.
Sure.
And so there's also a sense of, I would have loved to hear about Hispanic ministry also, but at the same point, I didn't want to sit there for another 3 hours. So, you know.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I probably could have heard a little less about, like, divestment for the sake of hearing about some other things. Not that that's not important. I just,
true.
I was perplexed that that was one of the 8 categories of,
right.
That was the beige category, I believe.
Well, and what you say, I think, maybe is somewhat less of a reflection of the candidates and more a reflection of the questions when we talk about what didn't come up, because a lot of these things were not part of the questions. I think some people were expecting it to be addressed that there weren't any women candidates, and a question about this, why aren't there more women in the pipeline, so to speak? I don't know. But we can't end there with what we hoped would have been addressed that we didn't hear. Because we gave you a question at the beginning. We said, what was the over-under, right? Did Bishop Michael Curry say Jesus more or less than 20 times? So if you've been indecisive up until now, make up your mind, and Jimmy's going to tell us.
A total of 28 times. Way to go, Bishop Curry. You mentioned our Lord's name 28 times.
And Ian Douglas, 24.
Yeah,
so actually,
very strong. Up
there.
Yeah, you know,
totally.
So it was good. You know, we don't support gambling, so you just had those guesses in your head. I'm sure you didn't have
You're any. All winners.
You're all winners, indeed. So we thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the Episcopal Herald podcast. You can find us at EpiscopalHerald.com, of course. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. If you have thoughts, send us an email, EpiscopalHerald@gmail.com. And we want to thank Chase Carl for doing our music. And thank you, of course, for listening. Keep the faith.